And again, welcome to everyone watching live or on catch up on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or listening on podcast. If you're new here, just to let you know, there's various things happening. Our Teenage Church Tribe Youth is taking place upstairs in the atrium. Upstairs as well, our Kids Church for primary school is happening. And just outside the door and to the left, our preschool Tots is also taking place. It's not just a babysitting service. The guys do stuff, spiritual things with the kids as well. Anyway, I want to talk today about something called A Tale of Two Traitors. But I want to pray first, and I pray that your word, the Bible, God, would nurture us today. I pray it would feed us, guide us, challenge us, and comfort us. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So, A Tale of Two Traitors is what I want to look at today. However, when in my research, anyone ever watched this program?
My sister won the show.
What?
Yeah, my sister, she won the show.
Your sister won the show?
Yeah.
Go away with that.
Yeah.
And did she get money like?
She did.
Just tell her to come to church. Tell her, I got the word today. No, I never saw the show because I usually pray when you're watching television. I never saw the show, but I did see a clip about it. And I know it's the biggest watched show in Ireland. And apparently they have their own version in England and in different European countries, probably around the world. My understanding of it is the whole basis of that show is about being two-faced, about pretending to be something you're not, about lying. But when I look at traitors in the Bible, particularly the guys today, we know that Judas Iscariot was a traitor. He was two-faced. He lied. But I want to look at another type of traitor in the Bible because I think we can really learn from it. So I'm going to look at A Tale of Two Traitors today as we look at two people in the Bible who were seen as traitors in their society and in their culture. Right before we look at the first guy, let me just put the context. Jesus was born in Nazareth, was born in Bethlehem, lived in Nazareth, but when he was age 30, he moved to a town called Capernaum, in the Galilee, in the north of Israel, and he set up his ministry base there. And the house he was living in, he opened his home, and they had meetings, a bit like this there. Way better than here, no doubt, because Jesus was there in person. And such were the crowds, it was hard to get in. And we read that one man who couldn't walk, he was really sick. His friends loved him so much, they carried him on a stretcher. They brought him to the meeting in the house and they couldn't get in because of the crowds. I don't know if he or any of his friends suffered from social anxiety. And I say this with respect. But if they did, they didn't allow their social anxiety, which is a lie, really.
Yeah.
Because we think everyone is thinking about us. And guess what? Everyone else is thinking about themselves.
Yes.
They're not thinking about you at all. So baby, wear your blue hair or wear your big medallion. Nobody's thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. Anyway. So they're going into the meeting. If they did have social anxiety, they didn't allow that lie to rob them of the miracle that Jesus wanted to do in their lives. And we know the story, some of us, how they climbed up on the roof, dug a hole in the roof, and lowered this poor man on his stretcher down through the hole in the roof. And Jesus was amazed, Luke 5:20, at their faith, but also at their friendship. We need friends like that in our lives, don't we?
Yes.
Okay, there's a few people said yes. If you were really sick, you can't manage on your own. Some of us are shocked. We can't.
Amen.
We need people around us.
Amen.
Whether we're sick in our bodies or in our minds or in our hearts or in our souls. And he had some good friends to bring him. And when Jesus saw their faith, he was amazed. And he healed that poor man. And the man got up and was healed, and Jesus was blessing them for their faith and for their friendship. So that's the context. The next part is, in Capernaum, the small town, Jesus then leaves his house and he walks into the marketplace. And all three of the synoptic or timeline gospels agree, that's Matthew, Mark and Luke, that after that, a tale of two traitors begins. And it is out of that context we need to understand what was going on. Because Jesus walks into the marketplace and we meet Matthew. And as he met Matthew, we know that the scripture tells us, Luke 5:27-28, after that, the faith and friendship, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector called Matthew sitting at his tax booth. Come, follow me, Jesus said to him. Immediately, Matthew rose up, left his tax booth behind him, and followed Jesus. Now, Jesus obviously knew that buried in the heart of this guy, Matthew, was a propensity for faith and also for friendship. And if you follow Matthew's life right throughout scripture, that is exactly how it worked out. You see, Jesus saw something in Matthew that nobody else saw. Jesus sees something in you that nobody else sees. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He sees the potential in you that nobody can see. Man looks at the outside, the Bible says, but God looks at the heart. So God knew, Jesus knew, there was something in Matthew that he could see. So Jesus calls him and says, come follow me. What do I mean by traitor? Another word is collaborator. You see, Israel was occupied by a foreign army. You can see it around the world in different countries. We have brothers and sisters here from Ukraine, and part of their nation is occupied by a foreign army. And the problem is that some of the native people became collaborators, traitors to their own nation, and started helping the enemy to get money to, if you will, steal from the people to fund their own lifestyles. And that was the Roman army, to fund the people back in Rome. Just over 100 years ago, Ireland had a war of independence. Three of my four grandparents were fighting in that war for independence in Ireland. But one grandparent, a grandmother, her family were neutral, and she had a brother who was a policeman. It was called the Royal Irish Constabulary. They were the police in Ireland, paid for by the British. And part of the, and I say this with respect, I'm not getting any political point here, this is just a historical fact. The Irish police at the time, or the Royal Constabulary, had to become traitors to the rest of Irish society so that the foreign occupying army could keep the people here in subjection. And remember, there's a huge memory in Ireland of terrible famines here, where the country produced loads of food, but all the food was taken over to Britain and the Irish were left to starve. I'm not saying Britain or someone from England is at fault, don't get this wrong, but it is a fact. And my granduncle, John McCarthy was his name, actually was challenged to report on some of his family, including his brother-in-law, my granddad. And my granddad's family, Michael Murray, if anyone knows Irish history, his brother was the best friend of Michael Collins. Anyway, I won't go into it. But they ended up burning down their houses. And my granduncle was part of that betrayal on the rest of the wider family. So in 1921, he had to get out of Ireland. I have all the documents. And would you believe he went to Israel? Isn't that bizarre? He goes from Ireland to what was then known as the Palestine Police. Anyway, he was seen as a collaborator. Matthew was seen as a collaborator or a traitor. They hated these people because they preyed upon everyone and they abused them. And so Jesus goes up to Matthew and he says, come follow me. And we're told, and this is something that's burning in my heart for a long time, Matthew left his tax booth behind him. Here's my first question. What do you think was at the tax booth?
Money.
The reason all of these guys were tax collectors, they were self-employed, was to make money. And as soon as Matthew hears Jesus say, come follow me, he left the money behind. That's what was in his tax booth. And when we think of it, and when we reflect on it, we go, that's incredible. He left all the money behind. What do you think happened to the money?
It was taken.
It was stolen within minutes. But he didn't care, because Jesus had said, come follow me. So he left behind what he used to love, because he loved something else more. What's your tax booth? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's sex. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's you love to control everything. Maybe it's an attitude. I don't know. But we've all got a tax booth that Jesus says, leave it behind. He has something far better for us. We don't need to get drunk with alcohol. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I could go on and on. Jesus has a far better alternative than what this world has to offer. What is your tax booth? When I became a Christian, my dad, some of you know this, very wealthy businessman, my sister and I became born again Christians, and my dad said, if you are going to continue with this faith, I'm going to disinherit you. You won't get one penny, 1 cent. So we had to make a call. I was 19. Do I want to get involved in my family's business and inherit it, or do I follow Jesus? Right from the beginning, I had to make a call. My father was furious that I had become a born-again Christian. So I choose Jesus. I left my inheritance behind. I'm not saying that to boost myself, but brothers and sisters, that's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. Do you think you can bring money with you to heaven?
No.
Or to hell? Do you think you can bring it with you? I'm building up treasure in heaven. Hallelujah. There is a bank in heaven that I am putting my treasure in. We won't be judged for our sin if we love God, if we follow him, but there will be rewards for our good works. There are rewards in heaven, and I want every reward that God has for me. I hope you do too.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So brothers and sisters, whatever's in your tax booth, leave it behind. Here's the truth. It was shocking news. Not just in Capernaum, but the fact that a tax collector would leave his money in the public square, and there would have been poor people and beggars in the square, and he left it behind to follow this new rabbi who had come to town. Whoa! Everybody was talking about Matthew, the tax collector, and what was happening there. People were deeply shocked. But it doesn't just end there, because then we read about Matthew's party. You see, some people think you become a Christian and you become a boring, dull introvert just hiding in the corner. Oh, no, you will not. Show me in the Bible where it says that happens. Because in the Bible, what happened after Matthew left his money and his tax booth behind? We read about a party. We read in Luke, for example, 5:29, then Matthew gave a great feast or party for who?
Jesus.
For Jesus, at his own house. And a great number of other tax collectors came also. There was a big crowd at Matthew's house, and it was a party. And a lot of the real conservative religious people were going, what are you doing with those people? I love what Jesus said. He said, it's the sick who need a doctor, not the well. I was sick until Jesus came into my life. And I still need his healing. How about you? No?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know, has anyone ever seen the drama series? I think it's on Amazon Prime, could be on Netflix, I don't know. It's called The Chosen. Anyone ever seen that? Yeah. It's all about the life of Jesus, yeah? Good few people. Well, in The Chosen, Matthew, the tax collector, is depicted as being on the autistic spectrum. He's depicted as being, what's it called, divergent in his mind. And I really wonder about that. It's not a huge thing, but if someone is really as they portrayed it, I really struggle to understand how he would throw a party in his own house where there's a huge crowd and there's a big mess. Anyway, that's exactly what Matthew did. Here's an important point. We think, and we often think, I used anyway, that if you were a tax collector in ancient Israel, you were like a lonely black sheep. Everybody hated you and you were isolated. On your own, you were the guy with no friends. The reality is they were a tight-knit minority. They hung around with each other. They had their own alternative social scene. So that group who were there, there was prostitutes and all of that, they were rejected by the mainstream society. Don't ever think of someone as totally isolated. Minority groups very often have more friendship among them because there's a rejection from the bigger group. If you look at, for example, the Protestants here in Cork, and you go back to when they were 5, 6% of the population, they had a whole separate way of living from those of us who came from a Catholic background. They had their own churches, their own schools, their own social halls. I was reading historical accounts of they were going to dinner parties in each other's homes, tennis parties, you know, playing tennis, going to tennis parties, all of that. So people can have, and you can think of all different minorities originally who had their own social scene. The thing is, Michael was only saying it to me, how not only that, but the tax collectors had a guild. It's an old world. It's like a guild. And they had the protection of the Roman army. So when Matthew walked away from his tax booth, he was walking away from protection. He was walking away from government favour. He was walking away from money. He was also walking away from part of his identity. I wonder, was there anyone going to protect him?
Amen.
Jesus was going to protect him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You walk away from the old life and you think you're on your own. Oh no, you're not. Jesus Christ will be with you. And he raises up community around us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need protection? Don't rely on the army of this world. Rely on the army of heaven. Hallelujah. We fight. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and powers. Hallelujah. So Matthew was not a lone black sheep. But everybody began to hear about what was happening. Brothers and sisters, today is my last New Year kind of message. I've done a few of them since New Year's Eve. But for 2026, walk away from the tax booth and go to the party with Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen?
Because
that tax booth will kill you. That tax booth will not bring life. There's a lie in the culture that if you're sleeping around with everyone you fancy, you're free, yeah, and you're also going to get really sick.
Yep.
In your body, in your head, and in your heart. Someone said to me years ago, I wear condoms. My question, my answer is there a condom for the human heart? No, there's not. Something deeply spiritual happens when we do that. Walk away. God has something far better for you. Hallelujah. And he will give you strength and blessing. Walk away from lies of addiction. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
We sang a while ago. Walk away from suicidal thoughts. That is not from God. Fight the devil. Resist him and he will
flee.
He'll run away from you. So walk away from the tax booth. There's no future in it. God has a far better future for you and for me. So that was our first traitor. And then about 120 kilometers further south, or 90 miles, for those of you who use that measurement, from Capernaum is the town of Jericho. And there we meet a guy called the Chief. Now, Jericho apparently is one of the oldest continuous inhabited cities or towns in the world. It's in Judea and Samaria, or some call it West Bank, near Israel, between Israel and Jordan. And there Jesus went, and the Jews were living there, and we read that there was a man who they called the Chief. Here's what the scripture says, Luke 19, 1 to 3, in Jericho, there was a rich chief tax collector named Zacchaeus, and he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. So, he's like a manager. Matthew was a regular tax collector. This guy is another level. So he would have had even more protection from the Roman army. He would have had even more notoriety. And he would be like the boss of all of this alternative social scene that they had. Here's my second question for you. Do you think he had heard about Matthew?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a fairly, I'd say we're nearly 100% positive he would have heard about Matthew. Here's the thing. He wasn't up in Galilee. Maybe him and Matthew never met. But I know this for a fact, and I've seen it over 45 years, that when someone gives their life to Jesus, word about them spreads in their community and in their circle of friends. And I remember hearing about four or five people away about a guy who became a Christian. I remember I was training. I was 18 years of age and I was training here in Cork at a course. And we started talking about God with my classmates. And they started telling me about a guy who had become a Christian. And I said, but sure, we're all Christian. And this person wasn't a believer at all. And he said, yeah, but he said, they're real Christians. And he started telling me about this guy. I never met him, but I had heard about him second hand and third hand. I think, and I think it's a fairly reasonable assumption, Zacchaeus may never have met Matthew face to face, but he heard through the grapevine all about the change in Matthew's life, all about this incredible change of life where Matthew walked away from his tax booth. Can I suggest to you, there are people here today and there are people who are hearing about your life and you've never met them. But even today, people are hearing. Yeah, that's Mary who works in accounts in the office. She's a Christian. She prayed for me when I was feeling low. I'll never forget it. Yeah, that's Jerry. He's a carpenter. I can remember when my mother was sick, he visited her in hospital and showed kindness. I can remember when all of us were so feeling low, this guy had a joy in him. People will hear about you. You're not in LA, you're not in New York, you're not in Sao Paulo or Lagos, you're in Cork.
Yeah.
We're not a huge city. And you might say, well, I'm not from here. Oh, everyone hears about everything in Cork.
Yeah.
Your reputation goes before you. Now, you might hate that. I like to be private. Do you know what? Embrace it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But this is the truth. In Ireland, word travels. I think it's all over the world. It was the same in ancient Israel. Word travels. So people will hear about you. When I was a new Christian, we sang a song, and I remember there was a line in it that says, so many lives depend on what I do. We're like the stone in the water. The ripples from your life go far wider than you can even think or imagine. Because someone who knows someone who knows someone will talk about you or talk about me. I pray to God that they will talk about good things on you.
Amen.
Who's brave enough to stand and ask God that he would use you right now, that people all over your workplace, your neighborhood, and people who never met you would hear good news about you and it would bring them to faith? Who's up for that prayer? If you are, just stand where you are. Hallelujah. In the name of the living God, the one who was and is to come, I pray to the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name that your reputation, news of who you are, news about your life, about your faith, whether that's acts of kindness, compassion, your joy, how you change the atmosphere when you walk into a room, I pray news of that would spread. And I pray people all over Cork and all over Ireland would come to faith because someone heard something about you. Amen. I pray it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take our seats. So Zacchaeus probably just heard about Matthew. And look what happened. Just in case you don't know, he was a short man of stature. He went to see Jesus. He couldn't see him. So he climbed a tree. I hope in your experience, I speak symbolically, that men and women will be climbing trees to see Jesus because they hear something about your life. And when he climbed the tree, Jesus didn't look at the crowd. He looked at Zacchaeus and he said, today, I'd like to go to your house, Zacchaeus. Remember, he went to Matthew's house. Shock, horror. A religious Jew would never go to the house of a traitor, of a sinner. But Jesus broke the rules. Hallelujah. Because they were man's rules. They weren't God's rules. Jesus wasn't going to be bound by man's rules. Jesus saw the person above the religion, above the tradition, above man's rules. He saw the person. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I tell you something. If you or I were invited to some place that really wasn't a great place to be, but we were strong in our faith, sometimes you got to have the courage to go there, not to have fun necessarily, but to be shining like a light for Jesus. If you can't, bring another believer with you though. Amen.
Amen.
Today I want to go to your house. Imagine you're Zacchaeus. You're up in the tree. And this Savior, the Son of God, looks at you. And he doesn't look at the others. And he looks at you and he said, I want to go to your house today. This was such a blessing. In that moment, Zacchaeus became born again. In that moment, Zacchaeus made his peace with God. How do we know that? Well, you can read by the fruit. Because Zacchaeus was deeply impacted by what God said to him, by what Jesus said to him. Because Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give away half of my money to the poor. I know what you're thinking. The bald fella's looking for my money. I'm not. Keep your money. I'm not looking for your money. It's between you and God. But it shows the heart of the man. He gave away half his money. And you might say, only half. Give away half your money. And he was really wealthy. And then he made restitution. He paid money back for all the people he defrauded. And it all came straight out of Jesus saying, I want to go to your house. You see, I think Jesus wants to go to some people's houses here today. You've never had Jesus in your house and he wants to go to your house. We'll say amen.
Amen.
Here's my point. Jesus called on Matthew. He looked at him in the public market and he said, come, follow me. And Matthew left it all behind. Jesus called out to Zacchaeus, who was up in a tree. He wasn't even in his line of sight. And he said, I want to go to your house, Zacchaeus. He called on him as he called on Matthew. Jesus initiated contact with both of them. If you're new here, you're not here by accident. This is not a coincidence and it's not lady luck. The Bible says, we love God. Anyone answer the rest of it? Because?
He first loved us.
He first loved us. So the love of God is shed abroad on our hearts is what the King James says. The love of God, we experience it and it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. That's what the book of Romans says. And so because he loves us and he shows his kindness to us, we come towards him. He initiates the contact with you and with me. And it's not just the first time. He keeps on initiating contact with you, the living God and with me. The living God reaches out to us through our circumstances. He whispers to us. He calls us. Sometimes he has to raise his voice because we're so busy we don't want to hear him. But he initiates contact with us. Why were you created? Why was I created? Right at the beginning it said, God said, let us, the Trinity, make man in our image. Why? That we might have fellowship. That we might have community with them. God wants you in his life, as it were. And he really wants to be in yours and in mine. So Jesus initiated contact with both of them. And both men repent. And this is really important. They do it in different ways. You can say they were both traitors. They were both collaborators with the foreign occupiers. They were both sinners. But Matthew just walked away from it. And Jesus welcomed him, and there's no condemnation. That was okay for him. But Zacchaeus, again of his own volition, gave half his money away. That's how he repented. So different people will do different things after they make their peace with God. Don't judge someone else because they're not doing what you're doing. You might say, God told me to give away my money or whatever. Praise God. But maybe he didn't tell the person next to you. You can't judge others because it works for you. You might say, I remember a guy saying to me, the Lord said to me, I'm never to go into a cinema again. I'll never forget it. This is years ago. And he caught myself and Denise coming out of a cinema one night. And he was a very kind of legalistic, judgmental Christian. And he, you know, it was lovely. He gave me a free sermon here in Patrick Street about why I shouldn't go to a cinema. And I said, can you tell me why I shouldn't go? He said, the Lord told me. I said, and you should obey it. But he hasn't said it to me. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a bit like if you've a problem with alcohol, keep away from it. Don't go to the place that will catch you. I have no issue with alcohol if I never have another. If you put a funnel in my mouth and pour it in, it doesn't do anything for me. But if it has a hold on you, then don't go near the place of temptation. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, it says to the young man who had a problem with women, don't walk on the street where she lives. Because she's trying to entice you. Go the other way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just walk down the other street. Keep away from temptation. So what's temptation to you is not temptation to me. And vice versa. So everyone has their own issues. So Zacchaeus and Matthew, two notorious men, repented in different ways because they were different people. So let's keep an openness as to how God can challenge you and challenge me. And let's not just copy and paste and expect that we're all clones going to do exactly the same thing. God is a God of creativity, and God is diverse in the best meaning of that word. Who will say amen?
Amen.
Zacchaeus pays restitution. He pays back what he robbed, and Matthew just leaves it all behind. Both men serve Jesus in different ways. The Gospels were written, in many cases decades later. They would never have included Matthew or Zacchaeus in the Gospels if they had fallen back. These men stayed faithful to the end. Matthew became one of the 12, one of the closest guys to Jesus, and served in a senior leadership position. What did Zacchaeus do? We don't know. It doesn't talk about him. But he definitely stayed faithful to Jesus until his final days. So it is certain. The Bible says that after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to 500 believers. Zacchaeus would be one of those. And he would have probably served God in his own community in Jericho, helping the poor. And everyone would have spoken about the man who was a terrible traitor and was now one of the biggest blessings in the city of Jericho in his generation. What God is doing then, he's doing today. Amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday,
today, and forever.
Hallelujah. Could the band come up? We're going to sing the song we opened with. And I'm going to pray two things. I'm going to pray for those who need to make their peace with God, and you know it in your heart. Maybe you've never had Jesus in your life, or maybe you've fallen away or drifted away, and you need to recommit your life to the Lord again. But I'm also going to pray for all of us who are following the Lord, and this is why I want to pray for us. You and I are living in occupied territory. You see, we're living on earth, and we know Jesus is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. But the Bible says the ruler is the prince of the power of the air. The evil one rules the earth. He has his own power thing going on here. And we can be traitors to our faith. We can go back to the tax booth, or we can begin to collaborate with the occupying force. Brothers, sisters, believe me, there is such a thing as evil spirits. Amen. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
There is such a thing, another word is demons. And I have seen people controlled by them. They are like the Roman army occupying the earth. Our home is in heaven, but we're called to live out our lives here first. So brothers and sisters, don't be a traitor to your faith. Would you say amen?
Amen?
So we're going to pray that nobody here goes back to the tax booth for 2026. The 10 o'clock service, we did something different. I want to do it here too. Normally when we invite people to give their lives to the Lord, we get everyone to close their eyes. I really feel from the Holy Spirit, God is saying he wants you to own your faith.
Amen.
Matthew didn't slink away with nobody seeing him in the marketplace. He walked across that square, and everyone saw he left it behind.
Yeah.
Zacchaeus shouted out to Jesus, I'm going to give half my money to the poor. So, if you've never made your peace with God, or you have drifted away and you want to make your peace with God today again, with every eye open, and nobody hiding, I challenge you, and I encourage you, have the bottle to lift up your hand and say, here I am today, Lord. If that's you, would you lift up your hand? See your hand, see yours, 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 hallelujah! Keep clapping. If you put up your hand, will you leave your seat and come up to the top? We're going to pray. I'm going to ask everyone to say the prayer with me. Jesus Savior,
Jesus Savior,
come into my life.
Come into my life.
For the first time.
For the first time.
Or come in again.
I want to make my peace with you.
Heal me, Lord.
Give me hope.
Give me more courage.
Use me wonderfully.
Be my leader.
Be my
Savior.
Be my best friend.
I give my life to you
as you have given your life for me.
So lead me, Lord.
I am going to follow you
all the days of my life.
No turning back.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's give these guys a round of applause.
Hallelujah.
If you're new here and you've never done it before, we've got a copy of the Gospel of Mark, and we have a book, little free booklet as well, about the next steps for being a Christian. Praise God. Come and take one here. I'll see myself or Mike afterwards. One more prayer. Maybe you guys want to stay up as well. One more prayer. Matthew never went back. Zacchaeus never went back. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I am tempted to go back to the old life. Thank God I keep saying no. And sometimes the temptation is so strong, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we fight the good fight. If you want to say to God today, for 2026, I will not go back. You know what the Bible says? I know I'm going to offend some, but it's the word of God. Peter says, don't be like a dog returning to his vomit. Don't be like a pig going back to the mud. Keep yourself clean with Jesus. So I'm going to challenge you, and this is my last 2026 New Year message. I'm going to challenge those of us who say, Lord, I never go back. Give me the strength to never go back to the old way of life. If that's you, would you lift up your hand and you want to say that to the Lord? Maybe you're really strong, I don't know. But I'm weak, and I need God to help me. There's loads of hands up. Here's one last prayer we're going to do. But this is how it works. You have to leave your seat. Otherwise, you're just hiding. Show the Lord that you mean business by leaving your seat, coming up to the top, standing in the aisles. Just leave your seat, because your body is telling your heart this is a serious prayer. Let me ask you to move up, guys, to let the others come in. When you leave your seat, it shows you really mean business. Praise God. Do you know what all the writers in the Bible said the same thing? I am weak, but he is strong. And I think it's good for those of us who've left our seats. Confess that today. Are you up for that? We're going to say it together. I am weak, but he is strong. Okay, at the count of three. One, two, three. I am weak, but he is strong. Again.
I am weak, but he is strong.
One more time.
I am weak, but he is strong.
Now we lift up our hands, not to a man, but to God. And for everyone who has left their seat and has their hands in the air, I pray a double blessing, a portion of heaven into your soul. I pray the Holy Spirit would do something wonderful for 2026 in your life. I break every addiction in Jesus' name. I come against every depression in Jesus' name. I pray healing in the body in Jesus' name. I say to every demon who has been attacking you, attacking your family, your days are numbered, Satan. Hands off. These are the children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we plead the blood of Jesus. We stand on the ground of Golgotha and we say, Jesus, we will not go back to our tax booth, but we will keep at the party with our Savior. So help us, strengthen us, and protect us as we leave behind the false protection of the old life. We pray the blessed protection of the Holy Spirit, of the angels of heaven, and of the one who defeated death into our lives. We stand here, God, and we say, we are weak, but you are strong. Say it again.
We are weak, but you are strong.
One more time.
We are weak, but you are strong.
We receive your strength now, Lord, for the whole year ahead. And we pray in 12 months' time, we would still be standing. Who say amen?
Amen.
We will still be in the house of God. You, can you say amen?
Amen.
And we will see many more in our family and even faces we don't know who have heard about us. And we would be a blessing in their lives as well. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So I pray now, finally, as God is watching, as he's listening, as there are angels and archangels, as there are demons and spirits all around, we declare for your life, for 2026, the blessing, the protection, the unction, the anointing, the charism of our God and of his Holy Spirit into your life. May your families be blessed. May the blessing go beyond you.
May Jesus go to your house like he did to Matthew and Zacchaeus. And may everyone who walks through the door of your front room, of your home, say, there's something different about this house. And that difference is Jesus. We pray this for the new year in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen.